Thanks for downloading the Wave Church podcast. We hope this message inspires and brings you into a deeper relationship with God. Enjoy the message.
I'm going to pray for the word real quick and we're going to get into it. Does that sound good?
Yeah.
All right. Anyone bring your faith tonight?
Yeah.
Come on now. That almost sounded believable. This is our young adult service. Did anyone bring their faith tonight?
Yeah.
Come on now. Good deal. Good deal. Pastor Josh might have heard you all the way in Australia right now with that. How many people think it's pretty cool? Josh has been in Australia preaching the gospel. That is our young adult community, our church, having an influence around the world, which I think is a pretty cool thing right there. So let's pray for the word real quick. Lord Jesus, we thank you that more important than the fact that anyone else is here, you're here. And that Jesus, in your presence, change is possible. And so God, tonight, we dare not put you in a box. We believe that you're the God who makes all things new. You're the God who makes a way when we feel like there is no way. You're the God who calls things that are not as though they are. You're the God who brings hope to the hopeless. And so, Jesus, we get out of the way tonight, and we invite you to do what only you can do. We love you, Jesus. We pray that tonight we wouldn't just hear good ideas or encouraging thoughts, but God, may we hear your words, your thoughts for us tonight. It is in the transforming name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Give your neighbor a high five real quick right there. And if you got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. While you're turning there, we're going to have a little bit of small talk going on, give you a little bit of time to find your way through your Bibles, which I hope you brought it with you tonight, either in the print form or the cellular form. Just make sure you got your Bible. It's always a good thing. That way you know I'm not lying. Which is important. You got to fact check me, you know, because we live in a fact check day and age. It is what it is. But anyone in here like watching television?
Yeah.
Come on now. Okay, there was like Asa Lowe, and then I think I saw another hand there. So the rest of you guys don't watch any TV? No TV. You love TV. All right, Luke loves TV. That's a good thing right there. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor. Tell him one of your favorite all-time TV shows right there real quick. Just break it open. There it is. And give a shout so I can hear it as well. Someone give me some of your all-time, like you can go all the way back to when you were a kid growing up.
Family Matters.
Family Matters. The new one or the old one? The old one. Back when it was a good show. Got it. Okay. What was that?
Smart Guy.
Smart Guy. Okay. Other shows?
Trading Places.
Someone said Trading Places. Does that even count? Okay. Hoarders. Seinfeld, that's like sophisticated this day and age. If you're throwing out Seinfeld, that's got like you are a TV connoisseur. What? Some of these I can't name because they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad. I feel like there was an entire season of my marriage, not because it was in our marriage, but because it was just always on our TV, could be summed up with the TV show The Bachelor. Any lovers of The Bachelor or Bachelorette here? I gotta be honest, I don't like watching TV. But The Bachelor always got me sucked into what was going on. There is something about watching a train wreck in slow motion that it's just satisfying to know that as much as I feel like my life sucks sometimes, that guy's life is way worse. Because he needed national television to get a woman's attention. Come on now. Come on now. I mean, it is what it is. Anyone in here know what I'm talking about? Can I just get one amen? I mean, I got some like, ooh, like he speaks truth, but can I just get one amen from that right there? Right? Like The Bachelor, like you watch it, and you got this one person, you know, whatever, this, that, the other. And I just thought it would be good if we just named the title of my message tonight, The Bachelor, because we're on the way to a wedding with the passage I want to open up with tonight. And this did not actually happen. I got to preface it at the start. Like, this is a story that Jesus is telling people, just like you and me, when he was trying to unwrap for them his message that was different than any message humanity had ever heard before. And I believe that this story is of infinitely greater import than the story that many of us think of when we look at that background up on the screen tonight. But I want to take us to Matthew chapter 25. I want to read just a couple verses, and then we're going to go somewhere with it. Someone say, go there.
Go there.
Come on now, look at your neighbor real quick and just say, he's preaching almost as well as you're listening. There you go, right there. I was going to say something else, and I decided I'd be, you know, kind and change it up there. But, you know, Matthew 25, we're going to look at just a few verses, verses 1 through 9. It says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins. Now, here's what I want to make sure we understand from the get with this. Jesus is trying to explain to people what the kingdom of God is like. You guys tracking with me so far? Right? He's explaining what the kingdom of God is going to be like, and he's using this illustration. And I love that because when you talk about religion, when you talk about a faith journey with Jesus, he always talked about it in a way that makes sense. Yeah, right. And I want to encourage you, if you're trying to walk out this relationship with Jesus tonight, it doesn't have to be all confusion. Yeah, good. It can make sense for the middle of living life in 2019. This book may have been written a long time ago, but it does not mean that it is no longer applicable to the lives that we're living, right? Like, there's a lot of things you learned long ago that you're still abiding by tonight. Like, hopefully you wore deodorant. Someone told you about that a while back, right? But the passing of time, listen to this. This is good. Ooh, preach, preacher. The passing of time did not make that less relevant. It made it more relevant in Jesus' name. You need deodorant more than ever. And your neighbor said, amen. Amen. Why do you need it more than ever? Because you're sitting next to them tonight in Jesus' name. This book may have been written a long time ago, but that doesn't mean that it no longer has value for the lives we're living today. So Jesus is trying to explain the kingdom of God. He says it's comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. What'd they do? They went out to meet the bachelor while he's on his way to his wedding day. It says five of them were foolish. Someone say five.
Five.
How many people thought of the Subway commercial right there? Five. $5 foot long. You're going to have that in your mind the rest of the night. You could exchange it with tacos for Cinco de Mayo. This is the second time I'm preaching today, so if you're wondering what's wrong with me, that's what's wrong with me. Five of them were foolish, and five were prudent, or five were wise. Now, the prudent... here we go. Verse 3. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. Someone say, no oil.
No oil.
But the prudent took oil in flasks, not whiskey. It was oil. It's a young adult service. We can talk about that. In flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. Now, remember, Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of God is like.
Right.
And he says, everyone got drowsy and fell asleep. I want to tell you something. You stick with Jesus long enough, there will come a moment where you won't have all the feels for following Jesus. It'll be easier to fall asleep than it will be to stay awake. It will be more comfortable to lean back on yesterday's victory than it will be to press in and believe for fresh ground. Everyone fell asleep is what Jesus said. Don't forget, he's talking about that's what the kingdom of God is like. There have been moments in my faith journey where I have fallen asleep. I'm not proud of it. It's just another reason that proves why I need Jesus at work in my life. I didn't just need him at the moment of my salvation. I need him in my life, active and real and present and leading and guiding and building in my life. Even here, even now, all these years later. And you need the same thing as well. Why is that? Because left to our own devices, we're all going to fall asleep on the watch. We're all going to miss the mark. We're all going to come up short. We're all going to take a turn somewhere, and we can run the risk of exchanging this incredible adventure of life with Jesus for something safe and predictable. We can water down life with Jesus to just keeping blessed and comfortable ourselves. When in the reality is, yes, Jesus wants you blessed. Yes, Jesus wants you comfortable. But more than that, I believe he has an incredible adventure waiting for you, that if you just go after blessing and comfort, you'll miss it. You'll get lulled to sleep by the very same things this world is looking for. The world's looking for blessing and comfort. We as a people of God, we can not only get that, but something greater because we serve the God of not only this world, but the world to come. Are you tracking with me here tonight?
Yeah.
He said, everyone fell asleep. I want to ask you a question tonight. In your personal relationship with Jesus, by the way, none of this is in my notes here, in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Are you asleep? Are you asleep for your generation? This is our young adult service. It's meant to be a moment where as young adults, we can talk about what is hurting, what is challenging, what is confusing, what is scaring our generation.
Yeah, good.
The risk is high, The stakes are high. We have the one answer. Are we sleeping? I think one of the ways you can know if you're sleeping is just another service. Or do we really believe heaven is real, hell is real, and we need this environment to see our generation one for Christ? Are you sleeping? It says, at midnight there was a shout, "Behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him." I picture that voice being Austin Jones' voice because you're sitting right here tonight. So it's like you're the DJ, the master of ceremonies for the kingdom of God, which is pretty cool right there, Austin. It's kind of nice. Then all those virgins rose, trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the prudent, "Give us some of your oil because our lamps are going out." But the prudent answered, "No, there won't be enough for both of us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." You can't live off of someone else's revelation of God. You can't live off of what God is doing in, if you're a young adult and you're already married, you're living in the promised land in Jesus' name, you can't live off of your spouse's fresh relationship with Jesus. Hopefully you're in a community group. If you're not in a community group, you're halfway to being brain dead in Jesus' name. Be offended. No, really. I mean, community groups, it's there to help you live life. Why would you not be in one? It baffles my mind. People don't want to join one, but then they want to take up my time in the middle of the week and say, "Help me put my life back together again." Go to a community group. Get around people who actually care for your future. Get around people who actually don't just love you when you wear the facade, but they know the person behind the mask, and they love them just as much in Jesus' name. How did I get on community groups? This is how. You can't live off your community group leader's relationship with Jesus. You can't live off the oil that's in their own life. You have to have your own living, breathing, vibrant, active, speak, callback relationship with Jesus. And it fascinates me that in this story here, everyone's there to see the bridegroom, but not everyone's prepared. If this is what the kingdom of God is like, it means we're all here in church tonight, but we all don't know Jesus to the same way. Everyone's there, but not everyone's prepared. More so, not only were people not prepared, something was missing. Have you ever had that moment where you realized something was missing? Just me. Awesome. Good deal. This will make no sense for you then. If you've never lost anything, this will make no sense to you the rest of the night. But I, as soon as I read that, I immediately went back to the young adult trip. We just took a young adult trip to Israel just a few months ago. Who was on that trip in here? Give a shout out if that was you. A couple people here, good deal. By the way, yeah, see, right there. If you gag, she can't help but gag with you. I learned that on the Israel trip, and it was fantastic. So I did not have to gag just now. I just wanted to have a little Israel trip moment with my friend right there. So if you see her while eating a taco tonight, just in the middle of eating your taco, and she will just like guacamole everywhere, in Jesus' name. I don't know why I went guacamole. That should be like a boomerang. Guacamole, guacamole. Anyway, we were on the Israel trip. She was dry heaving across the entire country. And we were in the Galilee, about 3 hours from where we were the night before. I thought it would be awesome if we took the whole group, had them spend the night in a Bedouin tent in the middle of the desert, see the stars, hang out with some Bedouins, have some tea, have some coffee, a little cross-cultural experience, you know, kind of like live that National Geographic life for a second. You could put something on Instagram and it wouldn't actually be taking someone else's cool picture. You were actually living something cool in this moment, sort of an experience. And, you know, we had to wake up the next day because someone on our team had the stupid idea of let's get up and see the sunrise from the top of this mountain where the sun, no matter where you are in the world, it's so bright, you can't really watch it rise anyway. It's just going to blind you. It's going to put a hole in your eye. It is what it is. Was it your idea?
No.
Okay, good. She was like, no. We had the sunrise moment. We told everyone, like, sleep with the clothes you're going to wear the next day because you're going to be getting up. We might be up before the Holy Spirit. Yeah. and we're just gonna go. So everyone gets up, we go. 3 hours later, we're in the north of Israel, on the Sea of Galilee. And I'm like looking out of our hotel, looking where Jesus walked. I'm having this serious, like God moment. I walk back in the hotel, I'm walking through the lobby, and I see this dude that's on our trip, and he's a full-grown man, and he looks like he's about to cry. Have you ever seen a full-grown man look like they're about to cry? There's only one rule: don't look him in the eyes. So I see him there, he's about to cry, so I just look the other way, like, I didn't see that, and I just keep walking. Awesome, awesome team lead right here, right? It wasn't my job, it was Josh Kelly's job to care for him, right? Like, come on, like, it is what it is. But they come back to me and they're like, Joe, we got a problem. I'm like, what's the problem? They're like, he lost his passport. I'm like, where did he lose his passport? They're like, last time he saw it, he was in a Bedouin tent 3 hours south of here. I'm like, the dude's about to have his identity stolen and it's gonna be like locked up abroad or something great like that. And it was a horrible moment. We ended up missing like almost 36 hours of the trip with the rest of the group because I had to go with this dude to the United States Embassy in a brand new location that was so new. They didn't even want to tell you where it was, so we were wandering through Jerusalem trying to find this place. But all that to say, losing stuff sucks. And that's what I thought of when I realized these people lost something in the middle of this story. What is interesting to me is Jesus is telling this story. So he could choose if they would have lost anything. Like, it could have been that they showed up and they're getting ready for the wedding moment, the bachelor, the bridegroom's coming, and you got the 10 virgins and they're looking at all the wedding gear and they're like, oh, I left my other sandal at home. I only got one sandal. It's cool. It makes total sense to me. Like, you lose stuff. It happens, right? Or like you lose, how many people lose like one sock every now and again? Yep, right? Cool. Good deal. You'll all be seated at the right hand of Jesus. These people, they could have done that. I mean, it's Roman days. It could have been like they showed up with the wrong toga for the party or something. I don't know. Like, there could have been any number of things that they lost. But Jesus chooses something that was forgotten, something that was lost, something they didn't have that was hidden on the inside. Not something on the outside that everyone could see in a moment. It was something that could be hidden on the inside that would leave the characters of this story room to act like they were part of the celebration when they weren't really fully invested in the celebration. And it wasn't just something on the inside that they lost, it was oil. And anytime you see the oil or oil mentioned in Bible, it is very significant. It's meant to show the power in the presence of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is, he's speaking to people in Second Temple period Judaism. He's talking about oil. They would have been locked in right away. This isn't about oil. This is about the Holy Spirit. This is about people that are in the presence of a wedding that is meant to represent the kingdom of God. And some people have the Holy Spirit and some people don't. You guys tracking with me here? Like, Jesus is laying something out. The real story is hidden inside the story. You see, somewhere along the line, it became enough for these five unnamed party goers to settle for looking like they were part of the party on the outside, but lacking something on the inside, and they were okay with that. It's kind of like people when you watch The Bachelor. Like, I want to watch it from a distance, but I don't want to actually have the drama in my own life. And I think sometimes people treat following Jesus like we treat watching The Bachelor. We want to be around the drama, but don't let the life change actually happen inside of me. Don't, Jesus, I want you to save my eternity, but don't mess with my habits here and now. Jesus, I want to look like I'm ready for that wedding party. I want to look like I'm one of those good people that's like, you know, like I'm all about the lion laying down with the lamb and like peace and happiness and God coming and amen. And like I pop and snap with my Facebook pose in the middle of worship because the cute guy's just down the way. I'm all about that, Jesus, but don't really change who I am on the inside. I have no idea what that was about popping and snapping. Some of you didn't even hear the end of that. You're like, what is with Facebook? Does he even have a Facebook? No, he doesn't. Okay, cool. See, so easy to get comfortable with living this Christian life on the outside and not letting the change happen on the inside. Gallup, they're a group, they do a lot of surveys. They go out, they ask questions, and they let us know what life today is like. They recently did a poll about Americans and their religion, Americans and their idea of God. And did you know that 40% of the citizens of the United States of America claim to have a born-again experience at some point in their life? 40% of our country says, I have had an encounter with Jesus and my eternity with God is secure. 40% of our nation. Now you look at that and you could get really excited on one hand because you're like, boom, like revival happened and we didn't even realize it. That's awesome. Our job's done here tonight. No more 6 p.m. service. Fantastic. You know, you could do that. But when you really look at what Gallup found on the other side of that, it gets kind of scary. While 40% of America claims to have had a born-again experience, there is no discernible difference between Christians and the rest of our nation's population when it comes to the success of our marriages, our fight against addictions, our ethics, our morality, our identity, our sexuality. 40% of our nation saying, I have had that life-changing encounter with Jesus. But when you really get into the details of their lives, we're no different than the people who don't know him. So let me ask a question. Who's being real? Who's being fake? Who's being real? Who's being fake? Who's here tonight that's asleep on the watch? You see, our culture defines Christianity as an event. Yeah, I've had a born-again experience. At one point, I said yes to Jesus. Our culture defines Christianity as an event, but our God defines it as a journey. Our culture says to be a Christian means at one time you say yes to Jesus, and then whatever comes after that, it is what it is. Our God calls it a journey. Journeys don't usually happen in a single day. Journeys don't usually happen in a single moment. Journeys need time to unfold, time to happen, time to take place, time to unpack themselves. Have you defined following Jesus as an event or as a journey in your own life? Even the way we talk about ourselves. We most regularly, what do we call ourselves? We say, I'm a Christian, right? Go ahead, turn to your neighbor real quick. Guess how many times the term Christian shows up in the original language of the Bible. Go ahead, turn to him real quick. Cue Jeopardy music now if we had it. We don't, so just pretend it's playing. You go ahead, guess how many times you think it shows up. Shout out how many times you think it happens. Go ahead. How many times does the word Christian show up? Zero.
One.
One, two. Good. All you guys are way better than me. I would have guessed it would have been like, it's got to be like 50 times. I call myself a Christian all the time. The word Christian is used to describe followers of Jesus in our Bibles 3 times. Do you know what term is used to describe followers of Jesus more than 260 times? Disciple. You see, when you talk about a Christian, it's real easy to just look at that person as a snapshot moment. But when you talk about a disciple, we see it as those are like the elite Christians who come to church with their large print Bibles, and they don't just have a highlighter. They've got like 12 colored pencils. And in case they highlight so much in the service, they've got a sharpener to get that edge back again. Like to be a disciple, you got to go to Wave Leadership College for something like that. But when you read your Bible, that's not true. I'm sorry. And he goes to Wave Leadership College. No, but when you read your Bible, if you're to follow Jesus, it means to be a disciple. It means there's this journey, this posture of I've never arrived, that I'm not done yet, that Christ is still at work in me, that the cross started my journey, but it was not the end of my journey. But the problem is the way we even talk about grace in the church today is largely one-dimensional, and the grace God has for you is so much greater than that. Yeah. See, when I ask people about grace, usually all I hear from people is this: Jesus saved me when I could not save myself. And the reality is that is absolutely true. That is the beauty of the gospel message. But if you're here tonight and you're serious about living the life Jesus has for you, you have got to grab a hold of what I would like to call tonight the other side of grace. And I wrestled with, would I call this message The Bachelor or would I call it The Other Side of Grace? Because the reality is Jesus' grace is a lot more than a fire insurance program. Jesus died for a whole lot more than to ensure that when you breathe your last life in, or your last breath in this life, and you breathe your first breath in eternity, he died for a whole lot more than just to make sure you make it into heaven. And I love that song we sang tonight. I wrote down the lyrics. You know, it's your love is too good to leave me here. The song is As You Find Me. The reality is yes, Jesus loves you as he finds you, but he has no intention of leaving you where he found you. And we cannot be, we're not going to change our generation if we settle for that. If that's the only way that we engage our Savior, if that's the only way we engage our God. Yes, the cross saves, and that is one of the most powerful images of grace in our lives. But I want you to understand tonight, hear me loud and clear with this. And why am I talking about this? I'm talking about this because I see people who are trying to follow Jesus, but because no one's talking to them about this, they're sitting in my office with tears in their eyes, thinking something's wrong with them. And the reality is, this is a very normal part of our Christian journey. We just got to understand where we're at in the growth process. Yeah, the cross is real, and it's an incredible picture of God's grace. But what if I told you tonight that there was an entirely other, brand new chapter of his grace waiting for you? In Titus chapter 2, verses 11 to 14, it says, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly." Listen to this. In this present age, what does that mean? It means right now in the middle of your college season of life, right now in the middle of your first season of getting ready to be deployed in defense of this nation, right now in the middle of your season where the world says, sow your wild oats, whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. No, in the middle of this season of life, Jesus' grace gives you the power to live a life that doesn't buy that crock of lies. Jesus' grace gives you the ability to rise above the dead-end hollow lies of this world and to live a life that is truly free. It says, "Looking for the blessed hope in the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed," listen to this, "and to purify for himself, a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." Dallas Willard put it like this. He said, "God is opposed to your earning salvation, but he's not opposed to your effort in walking out the salvation." And we have a generation that has been powerfully impacted with the message of grace, but we have wrongly understood that as meaning, if I ever try, it's religion. And the reality is, Jesus' gift is so precious that one of the greatest ways we could ever grieve the heart of God, I believe, is to take this gift of salvation and never try to do anything with it. It's not religion to try. It's religion if you think your trying makes you better. He says right there in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, "For good deeds." You see, Paul says this. I want you to wrap your head around this. This is the thing I want to make sure we all walk away understanding tonight. The grace that saves us becomes the grace that teaches us. The grace that saves you, once Jesus has set you free from sin, from death, from your past, from who you were before Jesus got a hold of your life, that same grace that saved you, it now has a new purpose in your life. And it's not just to let you keep going around the same mountain and keep making the same mistakes and just suck our thumb and feel good that at least God loves me, gosh darn it. No, it's not for that. It's to set you free and then teach you how to become the man, how to become the woman that God called you to be, that our generation is waiting for you to wake up and become, so we can leave a mark for God in this generation, in this city, in this nation, and in the entire world. But it's not going to happen if we don't make this shift, if we don't turn this corner to engaging grace in this brand new way. I'm going to ask, I think it was Zach that was on the keys earlier. Zach, if you can go ahead, join me. Is this making sense, by the way, or do I just sound really angry tonight? What's? Because I need tacos just like you. I'm not going to lie. Are you guys tracking with me here? Good deal, good deal, good deal. Okay. See, Jesus is not just our Savior. He's also our teacher. And I want to share with you a quote from someone that I love. His name's Eugene Peterson. Maybe you've heard of him because you read the Message Bible. The reality is that's not the only thing Eugene worked on. He wrote many, many, many books. And I think one of the other things we misunderstand Almost as much as grace is what real repentance looks like. And listen to how Eugene describes repentance. Hopefully it will give you a breath of fresh air tonight. Because if the idea of repentance makes you feel guilty or uptight or ashamed, that's not the repentance Jesus came for. Real repentance is life-giving. Real repentance is releasing. Real repentance says change is possible. You don't have to live like that any longer. Eugene put it like this: repentance is not an emotion. It is not simply feeling sorry for your sins. It is a decision. It's deciding that you've been told a pack of lies about yourself, about your neighbors, and about your world. It's deciding that God is telling you the real truth. Repentance is the realization that what God wants from you and what you want from God are not going to be achieved by doing the same old things, thinking the same old thoughts. Repentance is the decision to follow Jesus Christ. Following doesn't just happen in a single moment. Following is a lifestyle. Repentance is not a single act. It is an entirely different way of living. You know, going all the way back to the passage we started with tonight, we heard about people who had oil and people who didn't, people who had the presence of God and people who didn't. And I also pointed out that everyone fell asleep at some point waiting for the bridegroom to come. I've fallen asleep before. Not once, not twice. If I were to be honest, multiple times. If you knew all the ways I fell asleep and in what form and what way or what action was part of my falling asleep, to be honest, you may not want me up here speaking to you tonight. But the reality is, if I knew all the ways you fell asleep, I probably wouldn't want you up here either. So we're good. I've fallen asleep so many times on this journey with Jesus. Welcome to being a human being. I don't graduate from needing Jesus. I honestly just become humbler and realize more and more how much I really need him. I thought I knew when I first asked Jesus into my life. I had no idea how much I needed him, but I realize better now than I ever did before. And I have found sometimes the best things in life are on the other side of our questions, not on the other side of someone's advice. And as I was praying about this message tonight, I was trying to land the plane with points, steps, methods, principles, keys, strategies, whatever the heck you want to call it. And as I was praying, I felt the Holy Spirit say, "You stop trying to have the talk with them. Let me have the talk with them. You give them the questions, I'll give them the answers." So I don't have any points for you tonight, but I do have questions. And I encourage you to take these questions and at some point this week, get alone with God, just you and him. Live dangerously. Don't even have a cell phone around. Think through these questions. And don't just talk to God, but in the spirit of a real conversation, wait for him to reply. And don't just have this talk yourself with God. I encourage you, talk with your community group leader. Talk with your campus pastor. Talk with someone in your life who's also heading in that God direction. And these are a couple questions. They're in no specific order. But as I was praying through this moment right here, right now, I felt the Holy Spirit prompting me to say, these are questions you guys should be hearing tonight. And these aren't new questions. These are questions that I lead and I use as diagnostics in my own life on a regular basis. And I wanna quickly go through them, share them with you tonight. I'm not gonna unpack them, but I'm gonna give them to you quick enough for you to take them so that from here you can go out and you can have those honest conversations with God. Does that sound good? Yeah. First question is this: are you more focused on what you are doing or who you are becoming? Now remember, all this is coming back to talking about our relationship with Jesus, about making sure that when the bridegroom returns, because this may sound crazy, but I believe Jesus is coming back. I believe that the dead will be raised. I believe that my God will judge all of humanity. I believe in a literal heaven and a literal hell. I believe in the creation of a new heaven and a new earth, and that my Jesus is not just saving me to live comfortably in this 21st century America, but he is redeeming all of mankind and will one day be reunited with us. Are you more concerned about what you're doing in this activity, earning, crazed culture, or are you thinking about who you are becoming? Because can I tell you something? Who you're becoming matters infinitely more to Jesus than what you're doing. Because doing gets you on the path of religion. Becoming gets you on the path of relationship. Second question, what is an area in your life that God desires for you to be free of, but you refuse to let it go? For some people here, it could be maybe a substance, could be a drink, could be a pixel on your screen. It could be a relationship that you know doesn't respect your human worth and dignity. What is something in your life God is asking you to let go of tonight? Can I challenge you that maybe for you, your next step in Jesus, because we're a church that's all about being on the journey. That's why we have something called The Journey. If you haven't been a part of The Journey yet, I encourage you, come back Sunday, ask a pastor how you get on The Journey. We tell you, 4 weeks, it will transform your outlook on life. But maybe for you, your next step isn't necessarily joining a team. Maybe your next step is dropping that joke of a girlfriend or boyfriend and getting around people who don't just see you as a slab of meat, but people who see you as someone made in the image of Christ Jesus. What's that thing God's calling you to do? Third, are you regularly doing something that your conscience is uneasy about? I don't know if I should do that. Every time I do that, I feel like a part of me dies. And yet I do it anyway because I want to fit in. I do it anyway because I want people to like me. I do it anyway because I want them to think I'm a good person. Listen to that. And I encourage you, let this be the week where you take a stand and you evict that thing from your life. Fourth question, what voice has the most weight in your life right now? Any voice but Jesus, and it's unhealthy. Jesus should be the loudest voice in your life. What voice has the most weight in your life right now? If we're not in the Word, if we're not in the house of God, if we're not in community groups, I find it really hard to believe that Jesus' voice carries the most weight in your life. Number five, are we allowing the Bible to live in us and shape our actions? Let me just go this, like, blunt real quick. For all the people in here who are homegrown and you're like, yep, I know, I'm a Christian, I'm following Jesus. If we're not memorizing Scripture, I'm not sure Scripture's living in us. And when's the last time we memorized a verse? Spirit of full disclosure to you right now, a personal goal for me is I'm memorizing an entire chapter from the book of Romans. Why am I doing that? Because I realized there were some areas in my own life where I had a wrong identity about me. As a pastor, leading a campus in Wave Church, and I just decided I'm going to deal with this once and for all. And how am I dealing with it? I'm not reading a self-help book off the shelf at Barnes & Noble. I'm allowing the timeless Word of God to get in my heart, to get in my mind, to renew my mind, to change the way I think, to change the way I speak. And the person that I see in the mirror already, only 6 or 7 verses into memorizing this chapter, I already see a different person. How did I get that? Didn't happen in a conference. Didn't happen with someone laying hands on me. It happened by allowing the Word of God to set up shop in my heart. Can I ask you, are you allowing the Word of God to shape your life? Here in Wave Church, we're serious about this. It's not just about having a great weekend experience. We want you to live a free life. It doesn't happen if we're not really studying this book, eating this book. Don't eat it for real. That would be weird. And then the last question I have is this. Actually, two. Sorry, real quick. If you knew you were going to live forever, what kind of person do you want to become? I always ask the question, if you were to die tonight, do you know if you'd go to heaven or not? But that's an event question. A becoming question is, if you knew you were going to live forever, what kind of person would you want to be like on the other side of eternity? And let's take steps towards being that person now. And then the last question. Who is close to you but far from God? I do not believe you can grow in your personal walk with Jesus at the expense of being in touch with the broken corners of our city. If all of your friends are saved right there, that's your next step to growing to become more like Jesus. Reaching out, finding people in your world who do not believe what you believe, who do not think what you think, who don't even know where Lamentations is in the Bible. Help them, Jesus. Who in your life is close to you but far from God? You may be the instrument God preordained for that person to have a relationship with him. But I ask you, is a heart beating for the lost? Do we see, just let me get to church, or do we have that heart that says others to know Christ? Or if you really want to blow your mind for a moment, not just expecting for a person to make a decision for Jesus on a Sunday, what would happen if this week in your barracks, on your college campus, on the closing of your restaurant, you didn't sidestep that opportunity to tell someone your story of salvation, but you chose right there to finally answer their question about what's really different about you. And you didn't worry about giving a cool answer. You didn't worry about coming across as that Jesus freak, but you just decided, you ask, you're going to get the answer. Jesus changed my life. Let me tell you what he did in my story, and I have total faith he can do something even greater in your story in the name of Jesus. Maybe tonight, the person that's close to you but far from Jesus is you. The person that's far from God, it's not someone you work with, it's not a family member, it's not a neighbor, it's not a professor, it's not a commander, it's not a teacher, it's you. Tonight, what have you been hearing about? You've been hearing about a God who not only invades your moment, but he sticks with you for a lifetime. Tonight, I want to give you the opportunity, not just to hear that there's a God in heaven who loves you, but give you the opportunity to know him personally. To know him in a way that doesn't just change your Sunday night, but in a way that will change your Monday. It will change your Tuesday. It will change your Wednesday. It will change your Thursday. It'll change your Friday. It'll change your Saturday. You'll come back on a Sunday, and then another week rolls around, and he's still going to be showing up. He's still going to be by your side. He's still going to be faithful. He's still going to be loving. He's still going to have grace for you. But it's grace that leads from strength to strength. Jesus didn't die so you could have goosebumps. He died so you could be set free. And tonight, I don't just share with you about someone who can just entertain you for a moment. I share with you the one true name in which we can be saved, in which we can find life, in which we can be changed, in which we can get back up again after life has pushed us down, knocked us down, lied to us, kicked us, and pushed us aside. The world may have written you off, but my God has not written you off tonight. And if you want life, and if you want hope, and if you want grace, and if you want peace, and if you want strength, and if you want to live again, my friend, you're looking for Jesus Christ. And I want to pray for you right now. And I want to ask everyone, while we're still standing, let's all bow our heads, let's all close our eyes. And I want to give privacy so in this holy moment, the Holy Spirit can work in your heart. So you can't just hear my own words, but I want to give you the chance to walk in that freedom, to taste of new life. And if everything I'm saying tonight is lies, that old dead end broken way of living, it'll be waiting for you. But what if this journey I'm talking about is real? What if this journey has opportunity waiting for you tonight? I want to pray for you right here, right now. So with every head bowed, every eye closed, you know, every sixth service we've done, people have said yes to Jesus, and I believe tonight will be no different. You're in this place, and you're saying, man, Joe, you were talking tonight, and that was me. I don't know Jesus. I don't know his life, but as you were talking, I felt something coming alive in me. I want, if that is who God is, if that is what Jesus is like, I want to be on a journey with him. Man, if that's you in this place, I want to pray for you right here, right now. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm going to quickly count to three. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Come on, this is a moment to step into life. This is a lifeline being thrown to you. And it's not being thrown to you in your own strength or you earning it. It's being thrown to you through Jesus' strength and Jesus earning this opportunity for you. You're in this place right now. Come on, Christians, be in prayer. Come on, young adults, have a heart for your generation right now. If we can't be plugged in this moment, spiritually awake to what God is doing, we'll never do it out there. But if you're in this place right now and you know that heaven is knocking on your heart, but you do not know Jesus like I've been talking about tonight, I want to pray for you. Life is waiting. Breakthrough is waiting. Healing is waiting. New beginnings are coming for you. That's you in this place. On three, I want you to lift your hand high enough, long enough for me to see it. I'm going to pray for you tonight. All things will be made new because of Jesus Christ. So here we go. One, two, three. That's you in this place. Yes, yes, yes. Others here. Yep, yep. I see those hands there. I see another hand there. I see another hand there. Others here. Yep, there's another hand right there. Others here tonight saying, man, that's me. I want to know Jesus. Come on, every person in this place who's saying, man, I want to know Jesus like that. Come on, others here right now. Yep, I see another hand right there. Others here right now saying, yeah, that's me. I want to know Jesus like that. Yep, I see that hand right there. Anyone else in here? Awesome, awesome. Young adults, let's give God a hand for every single decision. Come on. Come on, young adults. How many people think this is why we do what we do? Come on. Every single one of you, so proud of you. Hopefully someone from our community here is close by you. We're going to pray with you. And then I think we have a place where we got some Bibles. We want to give it to you as a gift. Don't worry. There will be tacos for you as well in Jesus' name. But we're going to pray a prayer together right now. And listen, it's not about the words. It's not about the words. But we do believe it's about that genuine heart encounter with Jesus. We're not saved by what we do or what we don't do. We're saved by His grace in this moment right now. So don't get stuck up on the words. It's about the heart behind the words. Let's pray together. Everyone say, dear Jesus, I need You. Come into my life. I ask for Your forgiveness. And I now say that I am a Christian, that I am saved, I am set free, and I am on a journey with You. My old life is gone. And with You, I'm walking into a new life with new hope and new promises. And I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's go, young adults. Come on.
Thanks for listening to the Wave Church Podcast. If you made a decision today to follow Jesus, please go to wavechurch.com and click on I Made a Decision so we can help you on your way to know God in a deeper way. And if you want to visit one of our locations, the website can help you locate the campus near you, or you can live stream our services. Have a great day.